We head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Devin McCourty, former NFL corner, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the call for Thursday Night Football with Iron Eagle, Pats Jets. Devin, welcome to the show.
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it. Y'all seem like I got a lot going on. Some issues over there.
We got some emotions. Listen, Deshaun called them the Jets. They play the Giants on Sunday, and I was simply following his lead, and my co-host cannot let me have it. I am curious. If you're in the locker room for this Browns-Giants game, the Browns coming off a win, the Giants 0-2, how easy is it to overlook an opponent?
It happens. I think human nature, it happens naturally, even though you try to talk about it as much as you can. You know, you have head coaches that'll make the practice week really hard to try to, you know, prepare you and get you ready. I would say that happens more or less like later in the season when the records are kind of defined. I think right now at this point in the season, you look like if I'm Cleveland, I look at the Giants, yeah, they're 0-2, but you give them a kicker last week, they might actually win that game. You know, so that has to play a part. I don't think you can just walk in and say, all right, they're 0-2, we're 1-1. You know, we won last week, but, you know, we kind of got handled in week one by Dallas. So I think both of these teams are still trying to find their way early in the season. So I don't think either one would ever really think about overlooking the other one right now.
Do you think that being in the locker room of a team that is 0-2 can bring forth a sense of desperation for the guys to get that first win of the season? Is that something that happens this early in the season?
Yeah, I don't know if I would call it desperation, but there's definitely a sense of urgency. Like you don't want to start the season 0-3. And I think especially, you know, when you go into training camp for everyone, it's like all of these high hopes, what we could be, the new free agent acquisitions, the rookies are now. So I think it's such a buildup for every team to start the season. And you lose your first two, and now you're going to that third game. I think it's kind of the hope if we win this third game, we still have a chance for the playoffs. I think teams that go 0-3 to start, you start to feel like, man, I don't know if we're going to turn this around and be good enough to actually make the playoffs. You still keep fighting. You still think you can make it work. But a lot of doubt, I think, starts to, you know, come into your mind once you're 0-3, then it possibly could turn into 0-4. So I think the Giants will have a lot of a sense of urgency to come in and try to get a win this weekend.
So when you're in the situation of the Browns, where they're 1-1 going into this team, going up against this team and the Giants that should have that sense of urgency, how do you manufacture it to try and match that level going into this week?
I think you have to look at yourself in the mirror and say, well, who are we and what are we doing? All right, we're playing a Giants team that through the first 2 weeks, we should feel like we're better than, and we should enter this game with the mindset we got to go beat this team. I think especially because if I'm Cleveland, I'm looking at the rest of our division. You know, Baltimore is 0-2 right now. Cincinnati's 0-2 right now. You look out there and you're like, okay, we can make something happen right here. And everyone's talking about every other team. And right now, Pittsburgh's in the league. That's 2-0. All right. Where can we fall into place? Maybe Pittsburgh loses this week and we get a win, and all of a sudden we're leading the division. So I think you can't really focus on what the Giants are playing for, but really put in perspective what you're playing for and what you're trying to do with this season and then play to that, because that should be enough to get you over the top and try to go get a win.
Devin McCourty on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He's on the Westwood One call with Iron Eagle. Pats Jets tonight. You can hear it on 92.3 The Fan. So specific to this game, obviously there's been a big talk about offenses being down around baseball. But, you know, through 2 weeks, Aaron Rodgers, around football rather, and baseball too. That's for another day. But when it comes to Aaron Rodgers' performance through the first 2 weeks of the season, how close do you think he is to being old Aaron Rodgers, as it were?
I think this is a new Aaron Rodgers. When you say old Aaron Rodgers, it makes me think of like years ago when he was playing. I don't think he has to be that. I think those teams in Green Bay needed him to be a different version of himself, and he's an older player now. He's coming off a torn Achilles, but the thing he can still do is he can put the ball wherever he needs to put it, and I think this team will get more and more familiar with each other. I think coming off a training camp, they had injuries. Guys didn't play in the preseason. So they're still feeling their way throughout, I think, getting Mike Williams back really going. I think he should be a part of that offense. And I'm hoping to see more Braylon Allen tonight. I think he can be somebody that can take some of the burden off of Rodgers, Garrett Wilson, and Breece Hall. Adding some more just parts to this offense, I think, will help. But I think Aaron Rodgers can lead this team the way that's needed for them to go win. The defense has to play better. And I think they have something, and they have a formula that they think they can win with. They have to just play to that. We don't need Aaron Rodgers to be MVP Aaron Rodgers. Just we need him to be the quarterback that goes out there and wins the games.
With offenses being a little bit slow early on in the season, I think that this is a common thing that happens pretty frequently. The month of September, for the most part, I think it's kind of turned into preseason football. But why do you think it is that defenses start off the year almost ahead of the curve over offenses?
Well, we used to always talk about this in New England. Bill Belichick, Bill would always say, you know, September is just an extension of the preseason, just what you just said. He said, as a coaching staff, we're still figuring out what's the right mix of guys. Do we have the guys in this locker room that we think can help us go win, or do we need to go look elsewhere? So you're still trying to figure all of that out in the game setting. But I think defenses, you can just go and be aggressive. I think offensively you're trying to figure out, all right, how are we going to game plan? What's the matchup we want? What's that? And offense is such about timing that until you get all of that timing right in the passing game, you know, double team blocks, guys working together, doing that time and time again, you have to build that. And I think preseason, the way everything is, you're not in pads as often. So, like, those things that you used to be able to do for a long period of time in training, you don't get to do that as much. And then you're not getting the game reps in the preseason game. So these offenses take a little bit longer while these defenses are saying, hey, just cut it loose. Go hit somebody. Go do whatever you need to do. And when you do that, you usually kind of create chaos, and that plays, I think, to the defensive strength.
Devin, there has been frustration by some about the offense just being down around the league, as I had previously mentioned and butchered a little bit. But one suggestion came from Mel Kiper, who said that the NFL suggested, maybe he didn't say it, but he suggested that the NFL should ban too high safety because it's smothering offenses. Do you agree with that sentiment?
Absolutely ridiculous statement. I mean, I think about when I played in the NFL and I first got to New England, you know, Coach Belichick's time at the Giants, they used to beat up on receivers. You think back to the Patriots, the Indy rivalry. That was a lot of cover two, hitting receivers. Rule comes in, illegal contact, can't hit them within 5 yards. By the time I get in the NFL, you play cover two against Tom Brady. You play cover two against Peyton Manning or Drew Brees. Those guys were going to eat you up. It was going to be a game where they might only have 4 incompletions, 300-some yards, because they were going to just pick it apart, take what the defense gave them. And you look and it's like, well, why can't quarterbacks still do it? They can. They're just not doing it. So to try to ban something because offenses can't figure it out, that's like we should have banned Wildcat when they first put that in back in the 2000s because defenses couldn't figure it out. Eventually they figured it out. And now you randomly see Wildcat here and there. But for a while, you were seeing it every week from every team. So these teams are going to continue to run too high looks. It's not just all cover two. It's just a shell. And from that too high shell, two safeties deep, sometimes a safety drops. Sometimes the teams are just doing things because they see it's making it tough on quarterbacks. So I'm all for it. Let's see more of it. Let's see it in every game this weekend. Make it tough on these quarterbacks and these offenses.
Devin, I agree it would be a ridiculous thing for the NFL to ban. I think there's no reason for that to happen. But let's live in a fantasy world where it does happen. What would defenses do to adjust to a world in which they're not allowed to play too high shells?
You would go back to, you know, for a period of time, everything, you know, look at Seattle, Legion of Boom. A lot of things turned into single high. Earl Thomas was a guy that stayed in the middle of the field, would run balls down, run out and hit people. The years that we had our run in New England, we turned into a single high defense. I was playing the middle field. So teams can get back to doing that. And the threat of that always is you're going to be one-on-one outside. You got to have good corners throwing the ball over top. So I think if they did ban it, the next thing that would happen is the corners and safeties should get paid a lot more money for how they have to cover and what they need to do. So if I was a young corner, a safety in the NFL, hey, go ahead and ban it. Just make sure that money that you should have to now reallocate, send some more money into my account, pay me more, because it's going to be even harder to stop offenses if they decide to ban that.
Devin, I know you got Thursday Night Football tonight. I know we got Pat's Jets on Westwood One. People are going to hear it right here on our station. But we've been having a conversation for about 3 years about our starting quarterback and the fact that as of yet, we've not consistently seen the top five, top seven, top 10 quarterback that the Browns traded for. And so I'm just curious for this year, because I think there's a little bit of impatience out there from fans and from media. You know, how long, and or rather, when do we need to see that Deshaun Watson buy this year for us to finally be able to buy into it, or for us to finally just be able to breathe a sigh of relief?
I think it's a consistency thing. It's a week in, week out. There's if I'm a fan, and you know, obviously everyone talks about the contract, but you know, you sign a guy, and not just how much you're paying him. I think what you also have in that locker room. You have one of the better defenses in the NFL. You have threats. You went and got Judy. You have Amari Cooper. Like, you have all of these different people that's there right now. And I know the offensive line has been banged up a little bit, so that plays a part in it as well. But you want to see this week three, week four, week five. You want to see the guy that you were hoping to see every week. I don't think as a fan or even the Browns as an organization, I don't think you can sit there and say, you know, by week seven, we need to see it. Like, we need to see it now in the games we need it in. Like, you know, I think Deshaun, he played well enough for them to win and go beat Jacksonville. But I think when you have a guy of his talent and what you've invested in him, you want him to be the difference. And if, you know, the game is close, of why you win the game. So I think, you know, you need to see that from him, you know, starting Sunday and continue to build upon it, because that's the type of team you have. They should be thinking about, we're a contender, we're one of the best divisions in football, but we expect to be in there in the playoffs and have a chance to hopefully play for a Super Bowl, because they have that kind of talent in that locker room.
Devin, given the consistency issues, given the latest legal issue with the latest lawsuit, and Sunday, the opener against Dallas was maybe his worst game as a Cleveland Brown, and then this last week he has very much a bounce back game. If you're in the locker room, you know, you're one of those vets. You've played in the NFL for this long. What's your message to Deshaun if he's maybe struggling with confidence or struggling with finding it consistently?
I think you just support him. I think outside of, you know, the legal things, and then on the field, he's dealt with a lot, even with losing people. I think it was his father and a friend. I think that, like, that's a lot going on. And I think when you talk about being in a locker room, guys are usually very in tune to that because you experience a lot of things together. So I think hopefully the players and the different people in the organization are building around him and support him in things outside of football, because we all know, like, for me as a former player, I know the things outside of football affect you on the football field. So I think it's helping him kind of get through those things, and then it's cutting it loose. It's guys stepping up on offense, making plays for him. I think one of the biggest factors for him to be even better is getting Conklin back out there, getting your guys out there to, you know, complete what you've built from a roster standpoint, because no quarterback likes going out there and you're playing without your two tackles and different injuries. So I think that's definitely a part of it. But I think those guys just continue to support him, show up for him, talk to him, keep him light, keep him going. Because, like, again, the NFL nowadays, the team, it doesn't rest solely on the quarterback, but you probably won't win unless you have a good guy playing quarterback.
Devin, great stuff, man. Can't wait to hear you on the call with Ian Eagle tonight right here on this station. Appreciate your time, bud.
Thanks, man. You guys have a good one.
You too. Devin McCourty there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.